You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now Don, I've checked the levels. I'm not on mute. We did half an hour last week, and then I had to do the promo on my own because people said you got the shits and left, and I said,
no,
yep,
you said that.
That's what he does.
No. You're the one who cracks the shits. You go off like a Roman cracker.
Roman crack.
Yeah, it's like a penny bunger. Do you remember the penny bungers?
So anyhow, we've got the I'm on at the minute.
You sure?
I'm on.
Because I don't want to ruin the spontaneity. It was contrived spontaneity last week.
That's correct.
And it didn't work.
Don't use my lines, Don.
I wouldn't use your lines.
Contrived spontaneity. You would never think of those two words to put them together.
Oh, so you're the... I was going to swear
there. Yeah.
You're an arrogant prick.
No.
You're conceited. You think you're the only one who invented the dictionary.
Well, I'm just going to read this out to you.
Righto.
This was on a... someone's obviously Googled or what you cannot be serious is about, and this is what it said, right? This is what it said. I didn't say this, but this is what came up on the Google machine. The Sam Newman podcast that you are referring to is likely called You Cannot Be Serious, which is co-hosted by Sam Newman, Don Scott, and wait for this, and Ivan Milat. Don Scott is a former Australian rules football player and media personality, while Ivan Milat is a comedian and writer based in Melbourne, Australia.
What are you?
Hang on.
What are you?
Shut up, Don. How can you believe this? Together with Sam Newman, they discuss current events and issues related to the Australian Football League, and then in brackets AFL, as well as interview current and former players, coaches and other personalities involved in the sport. The podcast has gained a following among the fans of the AFL, due to the host's candid opinions and irreverent sense of humour. Now, I only read that out because Ivan, whose name is not Ivan, his name's Paul, but you said
sure?
He looked like Ivan Milat. They now think Ivan Milat actually is in here. He's a writer and a comedian. If they knew who Ivan Milat was, how about that?
Who's that bloke? He must live out of Australia.
This is, if you go, did you hear what I said?
I heard exactly.
What do you mean, who is that bloke? That is if someone Googled to see what You Cannot Be Serious is.
No, but that's somebody's opinion. Some idiot.
That is sort of a Wikipedia entry into what is You Cannot Be Serious About, Don.
I think it's, no. Couldn't be.
What do you mean you think it's...
You haven't got any qualifications. You just said, Sam Newman, what's your qualification?
I'm just reading out what it said. It's not he. That's what... God almighty, man. So and then we got a hand-lettered...
He's exasperated, Jack, your father. He's going off his tree again.
I don't think
he's on the painkillers today. I've got to put up with 2 hours of his bullshit, Jack.
Ivan may have written that, Sammy.
Who's this?
Well, I was just going to say he couldn't wait to... I couldn't wait to speak before I introduced him.
I hope he's not working blue today.
Hang on. So I arrive at the doorstep here. And it's like
what?
And the car pulls up.
The mangy dog was waiting for you.
I arrive at the doorstep and the car pulls up and have a guess who it's in.
No.
It's Michael Christian Menswear.com up your bum. Here he is. He's arrived. He's over from Tassie.
He's been on the ferry. He got on the ferry this morning. He got off this morning.
The bloke went up to Sydney and said, boardwalk there, and he said to a tourist, he said, I'm looking for a Manly ferry. And the bloke said, your search is over.
Shut up.
I know.
Oh, shit.
So, 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 So Mick has arrived and he couldn't wait to speak before I introduced him. So here he is. Now, I'll just tell you before, I'm going to read this.
He's self-effacing, Mick, isn't he? He said, no, I don't want to be. Oh, I don't want to be. You can't shut it. When well, he
had
going.
A, I'll just, before I read this letter out, he was telling me he had a brief stint. He was asked to fill in on radio. Mick, tell the story, please, quickly. This is Michael Christian Menswear. Go on.
Well, I can't mention the radio station.
Where is it? In Tassie?
In Tassie, yes.
Oh, it'll be a community thing at Launceston. You've got one or two listeners.
No, I was on for a test late at night.
late at night, the graveyard shift.
Go on, Mick.
Late at night. We were coming into the 11 o'clock news. So, and they're like a nicely soft, you know, sexy voice like mine and... So I said, as the... Sorry, Sammy.
Go on.
Oh, shit, you're a control freak. Let him go.
Yeah, he is too. Yeah, I said, as the lights slowly dim over the landscape of Launceston, I said, and the Sandman's here to tuck you both into bed, I said. I can't actually remember the whole flow of it, but anyway, the thing was, I said, well, just... To get you off tonight, I'll just put on a nice little track from the Abbey Road album, Come Together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, Come Together.
But do you get the double entendre there, Don?
Oh, is this his comedy?
Well, he was saying, tuck into bed and I'm going to play this song, Come Together. And that was the
he's
end of his...
He's working blue, Johnny.
That was the end of his career. Well... He lasted a night.
I lasted one night, but it was only the fact that... I started sort of giggling between putting the needle to the vinyl, you see, and, and that's where they throw it.
I think you pushed the boundaries, Mick.
Righto.
We'll go off air if you...
So I've had to come over here because I'm banned in Tasmania.
So. We're going to speak to Mick about... how well the memorabilia is going, what memorabilia? Caps.
He does the caps. We do a memorabilia now.
Well, that's memorabilia. It's got your signature and mine on it, the designer caps.
Mick, is this my hat with the Chinese writing on?
Yeah, I gave you that hat last week, Don.
Yeah.
Did you? Good on you. So that's a ripper.
So I'm now mentioning this letter.
I'll get Ivan to sign it for you now that he's...
So this was a hand-delivered letter to the...
We've got another correspondence now.
This was... Have a listen to this. This is a hand-delivered here, so it didn't have... It just said to me. It was addressed to me. It just said Sam. So someone's obviously dropped this in that lives locally, and they're giving us a touch-up. It says... Sam, thank you, Don, and your other guests for your podcast. That's as good as it gets. I appreciate the fact that you offer opinions against soft, woke, lefty views. Not many are courageous enough to do this, as most are worried about the backlash. And then he says, I'm disappointed that some of your views detract from your overall message. The problem with these attitudes is that they cut people off, and it's difficult to recommend your podcast to others because the 5% of awkward stuff is enough to get people offside. Can you believe this? He doesn't sign who it is.
You found it under the door.
It was under the door.
Somebody walks past here.
That's right. He said, they will turn off your podcast label as you are a sexist dinosaur and not get to hear the good stuff.
What's the good stuff?
I don't know. So where's a sexist dinosaur? Yeah, that's right. For example, the public would generally view your attitude towards females as slightly worrying. And the podcast with the lady from the USA was a bit schoolboy. What? I'm not saying don't let her on. I'm saying anyone else who portrays you in the wrong light are fair enough. And he goes on, then he says, but he loves it and all that. Would you think that we would not know that we are tongue-in-cheek sending up everyone who we speak about, and this man's taken it seriously.
Who do you think that is?
We speak about...
Not that man from that big retail operation.
No, it's obviously someone who lives locally because it's been dropped in. And then it says, thank you for continuing
you sure
good
it's a
service.
Male? It couldn't be a female.
It could be. As if...
have you upset any females recently?
Well, what in the last hour?
No, I mean in the last week or two.
I'll tell you what we do, Don. We speak about people from our class, females, males, non-binary people. We speak about people from different races, from different ethnic cultures, exactly the same. We treat everyone the same. We are the least racist and least compromised people that we speak, probably on public radio or whatever we do, because we treat everyone equally. Some people don't want to be treated equally.
Because the people we criticise, we don't treat them equally, do we?
But we if we criticise people, all those different categories that people fit into doesn't worry us. We treat people the same. We treat people... If you're a different cultural background, or if you're a different race, or if you're a different sex, or if you're a different gender, or you are the same, we treat you all the same. So don't get annoyed if we take a shot at women, and we're actually men. Don't call us sexist, we're just being equal. But most of the people we criticise are our own kind, are white males. White heterosexual males. That's mainly the people we criticise. Now, having said that, Don, I want to read you this out because we've got The Voice coming up, and this podcast is saying, whatever you do, don't vote for The Voice. It's a crock of nonsense.
No. I'm not. Hey, hang on. You're saying that.
Good.
I'm saying I want more information, and I'm getting no information, and I've gone everywhere.
How beautifully said, Don.
What?
I'm going to read out. Have a guess who said this. Now, please, just let me read this out. All the welcome to country and all the smoking ceremonies and all the made-up bullshit rituals about pay our respects to elders past and present is just one big lie. Let me finish. The fact is, as uncomfortable and unfashionable as it is, Aboriginal Australia has not produced anything. It therefore beats me why Aboriginals are now so revered. 55 years ago, 91% of Australians voted to remove race from the Constitution, putting Indigenous Australians on the same legal footing. Since the arrival of the English, Australia has prospered into a first world developed country. There was no invasion. What, last bit. We are all Australians and should share the same laws and government. Black, brindle or white, we are all Australians irrespective of our colour or race. Now, have a guess who said that. I wish I'd said that.
Well, he's wrong in one part.
It's a woman for a start.
Okay, Jacinta Price probably.
Jacinta Price's mother, Bess.
Okay, now, but she's wrong because the Aboriginals have... What's that part where she said they haven't contributed or something?
As uncomfortable and unfashionable as it is, Aboriginal Australia has not produced anything.
They have.
What?
How to look after this country.
I beg your pardon?
Look after the country.
What's
burning
that mean?
Off the way to regenerate. Yeah. You're an idiot. You live in your stupid unit.
Don.
You're not out in the country. You don't understand.
You're saying Aboriginal Australia
what?
has produced
the knowledge of how to look after the country.
Oh my God!
You got to listen.
I don't know that you can get.
Yeah, but you're a typical.
I have no idea how you can be as simple as that, Don.
Oh fuck,
Don!
You're an ignorant city dweller,
Don. Burning
we
a
should
country.
We should be looking after the country better than what we're doing.
Oh, my God.
And they did it.
So I'm just saying, who said this? A former Indigenous politician who received a prestigious award from Barack Obama at a Welcome to Country ceremony called Bess Price, Mother of Jacinta. And you reckon what the Aboriginals have produced is they've been able to burn
no,
ground.
No, burn they the know country. How to look after this country.
Oh, geez. Seriously, that's extraordinary.
Well, so, they have to live here, Johnny.
That is extraordinary that you would draw that conclusion about they've produced.
That's what she says. If you fucking got off your ass
that's
and got out in the country, you'd understand.
That's what... Well, I
the
I
way
don't
they
have,
used to work the land by having it in seven-year plots, you know, they'd burn off, move on to the next, it'll regenerate.
Right.
In 7 years, they'd come back and they'd farm the land.
Did they? What did they produce? What did they farm?
Well, they farmed it. They lived off the land. That's how they lived, because the animals would come back.
Then they'd slaughter them and eat them.
Because a lot of Australian vegetation.
That's right. That's hardly producing anything, Don.
It's not, my friend.
That's self-survival, Don. That's what best price is, and we couldn't have said it any better. And it just goes on and on. What about the disgraceful
you're just picking
conduct
stuff that backs up your argument?
Of course, because the Voice is doing nothing but keeping to divide Australians
It is at the moment, because they are not telling us exactly what's going on.
That's right.
Today, Essendon Football Club have come out and backed the Voice. Now, here are sporting organisations that should not get involved.
Oh, dear.
What are you going on, dear?
The AFL have backed the Voice, Don.
I know the bar.
This is what we keep saying. Do you know there's going to be an Indigenous month of football?
Do you think all the supporters are going to follow? They couldn't be that stupid.
Of course they are. The AFL have been blackmailed by the government to build this stadium down in Tasmania.
As long as
we back the Voice.
I know the payoff.
You cannot get more patronising, pandering bullshit than what is going on. And your club, Don, club has got its... dipped a toe in the water.
What are you talking about?
With the nonsense they keep going on with Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan.
No, they're not going. They're not saying a thing. That's
the
trouble.
They are investigating, still investigating it. They should hit it on the head and say, this is nonsense.
Kennett said what? Jeff Kennett had an article last week. Why isn't somebody from Hawthorn coming out? The president at Hawthorn at the moment is very silent, isn't
Hang
he?
On.
Or a representative from Hawthorn. Yet other people are coming out. Who was it? Quinn, is that his name, who's heading up the...
Jeff come out and said that they should investigate it?
But he's a former president.
Hasn't he said they should investigate it?
He's a former. Why don't we get something from the current regime?
Don, hasn't Jeff Kennett come out and said Hawthorn should investigate it or
no.
not? No, he hasn't.
He said at the moment it should be scrapped.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good, because I think Alistair Clarkson thinks Jeff Kennett is part of the investigation and it should be investigated. He said it should be scrapped, should it?
But it came under Jeff Kennett's watch that this came up. Ian Silk was the chairman of the committee, People and Culture Committee, and Jeff Kennett was president. And that's at Hawthorn.
So Kennett says that it should be scrapped, which it should be, and I don't know why they keep going on about it. Is that right?
Well, the way it's going, it's just
because
it's ludicrous.
You're
demonising
two people unjustly, Chris Fagan
and,
and Alistair Clarkson, who have not been allowed to speak about it.
Yes, but don't you think the ramifications of this is... And also Jason Burt. Don't forget Jason Burt, the third party. I believe if they drop this, those three people have got grounds for defamation against the ABC.
Yes. Good. Well, let's hope they have got grounds for defamation.
Because if they drop it, they've been defamed, haven't they?
They have indeed.
So the ramifications are enormous.
Doesn't worry the ABC, because they get sued and you and I pay for it.
What about that latest? Somebody else got sued just recently from the ABC and we had to pay again.
That's right.
They're able to do whatever they like and they're covered.
So then,
what would happen if a commercial organisation was paying out as much as what the ABC is doing in defamation costs?
Absolutely. So this racial tint and taunt goes on in every aspect of the world we live in, and it is absolute nonsense. So we're not allowed to boo a Buddy Franklin. Just a minute. Eddie Betts. Eddie Betts said, if Buddy Franklin thinks it's racist, then it is that he gets booed. If Eddie Betts is going to be a spokesman for anyone, let alone Aboriginal Australia, you cannot make ridiculous statements like that, because Buddy Franklin might think that if he's getting booed, that's racist. If he thinks that, then it is. How would someone like Eddie Betts...
I saw that. I could not believe when I saw Eddie Betts say that.
So why doesn't someone get
to
Eddie Betts?
Hey, hang on. We got done too. Do you remember that?
Oh. Oh, Don.
You know, we don't know what he's thinking.
We are so preoccupied with this that we got charged for vilification over having a discussion. And if Eddie Betts is going to set himself up as a spokesman for Aboriginal Australia, for God's sake, someone tell him he's got to be logical. That is so just absolute nonsense what he said, and he should be taken aside by Geelong if he's working for Geelong and be told, mate, that is just nonsense. That is absolute crap what you're talking about. Be more informed and educated about it.
But it opens a Pandora's box about what you're thinking. What you're thinking. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, Don.
And Franklin, the Franklin thing goes back, I believe, to a newspaper article done a few years ago where Lance Franklin's wife came out and said he doesn't like being booed. And I think it was in a final, and the Hawthorn supporters were booing him because it puts him off his game.
Oh, really?
It's got nothing else to do with anything else.
Of course.
He was a former Hawthorn player, and she unveiled his Achilles heel, and so the Hawthorn supporters got onto that.
Of course.
Got nothing else to do. It could be anybody. I was booed. I was spat at,
Don,
as a player.
You're completely right, Don. This is the Adam Goods scenario that he was booed because he pretended to throw a spear at the Carlton cheer squad.
I thought he incited the crowd when I saw that.
That's exactly what he did, and they started booing him. And then the AFL and the buffhead that runs the competition said, oh, don't boo Adam Goods. That's like red rag to a bull. If you tell someone not to boo someone, they just automatically do it. Not because of his race, just because he pissed people off.
They don't take into account the intellect of our supporters in football.
And
their intellect is higher than what you think.
So just finally on this matter, Don, we've got a lot of and we'll speak to Mick in a minute.
I followed instructions when the plane landed, Sam.
That's right. That's the
And I booed, and the Sheila sitting next to me said I'm offended by what you've just done.
The lass.
Oh, sorry.
What did he say?
When the plane lands and we've said you're now landing
What's
in...
What's a Sheila?
Sheila. The late lady. Woman.
Sorry.
When the plane lands and you're told that you're landing in Wongalong country or whatever, that's just another piece of nonsense that Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce, that airline...
Sammy told me to boo, so I booed. And,
yeah, jeer. Just slow hand clap. That's just got to get rid of all that nonsense. It's another thing to divide the country. So listen to this.
You would have been up shit creek, Michael, Wongaloo country. They said, oh, you're welcome to Wongaloo country, you should have been in Wurundjeri country, shouldn't you? You're on the wrong plane.
So did you see this?
I thought I was in the wrong country.
Did you see this in the paper, Don? And this is just the final thing we'll do on this. Did you see this in the paper? They did a poll on the top 50 Aboriginal athletes, which is a good poll to do. Did you see that?
Yep.
It's very... I didn't read I just wouldn't even entertain.
No, well, hang on. It's an interesting thing to do because there's been some great Aboriginal athletes. And a 12-person panel of sports editors, senior journalists and reporters across the country came up with this list in order, right? And I'll just tell you, let me do this because you'll be fascinated by this.
One person I hope is in there.
Hang on a minute. So this was the list of journalists in order. I won't do the 50, but the first was Kathy Freeman.
Yeah, okay.
Then Yvonne Goolagong.
Right.
Arthur Beetson.
Yeah.
He was a great rugby
player. Yeah, I understand.
Ash Barty.
Yeah.
Adam Goods, this is their list.
Yeah, it's subjective.
Patty Mills, and then I won't tell you who was number seven, but these people came after number seven. Lionel Rose, Thurston, Franklin, Polly Farmer, Novus Peris, Michael Long, Gavin Wanganine, Cyril Rioli, Gordon Tellis, Anthony Mundine, Peter Matera, and it goes on to 50. Have a guess who was number seven, that these people, these pandering...
Yeah, okay, who?
Pandering sycophantic squibs.
Come on.
Nicky Winmar.
What about
was
Percy?
Number seven.
Okay, what about Percy Hobson? Is he there in the top 50?
I didn't
Okay.
I can check.
Percy Hobson was a high jumper, and if you go back, because I used to follow high jumping back in the early 60s, Chiller Porter won the 56 Olympics. You know that. I know that. He was an Australian. Then the Commonwealth Games were held in Perth, and who won a medal? Percy Hobson. Okay. You know where Percy Hobson comes from? Out back Western New South Wales. Good. Who trained in his backyard as a high jumper. And he came from a place called Bourke.
Well, I've got...
Now, I think he may have been the first Indigenous athlete to win a medal.
Good. Well, I've
internationally.
Well, I've got the list. I'm going to check Percy Hobson.
That is subjective. That is bullshit. They put down bloody footballers...
Just a minute. That they're the people you rely on to have some integrity, some honesty. You could not put Nicky Winmar in
you
at seven.
You couldn't put an AFL footballer up against an international, like Lionel Rose is international.
Don, I'm with you.
Barty, international. Goolagong, international.
I am with you, Don. I am with you. So this was. So that was the.
And the other interesting thing about that is they're all females, aren't they?
That was the.
They're females, aren't they?
Some of them are.
The top ones are females.
Yes, that's correct. That was the journalists' lists. Now, here's the public. Then the public were asked to weigh in. You know, you and I, the public. And this is what the public said. Number one was Goolagong, Yvonne Goolagong. Number two was Lionel Rose. Number three was Ash Barty. And so it goes on. It goes on. Cathy Freeman, the public put in at number 11.
Really?
So have a guess, and I'll just go on. It goes on. Number four was Jonathan Thurston. Five was Polly.
Come on, please.
I'm just giving you the public. I'm getting to the end of this. Then it went. These are in order of.
Yeah, go on.
There was Farmer, Wanganeen, O'Loughlin, Rioli, Franklin, Michael Long, Eddie Betts, Nova Peris, Anthony Mundine was 47. Have a guess who was 49?
No.
Nicky Winmar.
Bullshit.
But the
Nova Peris should be further up. She was hockey player.
Don, that's the public. Say that. And the journalists got Nicky Winmar in at number seven. Now, what do you think they got him in at number seven for? I mean, you cannot get more slobbering suck-ups than those people who would...
What paper was it in?
Pardon?
What paper?
No, I don't know. Herald Sun.
Okay, well, congratulations. They got really good mileage. That's good journalism. Here we are talking about their...
we're talking about how...
And that's a great story.
Lily livid and pathetic they are.
No, they've stimulated conversation. And they've done exactly what they're supposed to do. Well done.
What they've done is they've had people say, can you believe those people would be so pandering and so sycophantic...
They've done a story to get the community involved.
They haven't. So you're saying they don't really believe that?
They're doing it to create sales and conversation.
No, I'm saying they don't really believe
it. They've done their job.
So Mick, so we just asked Mick Michael Christian here, menswear.com. We have gone the memorabilia on beside you talking it down and running it into the ground, saying it's expensive and overpriced.
It's a rip-off. Have we looked at the prices, Mick?
It's just gone ham. We've got overseas
orders.
Because
that silk
gear,
that cravat you got on your neck is not a two bobs. That's silk, and it looks like
I had to wear that to get on the Qantas plane.
No, Mick. You've spent a lot of money on that, and I think a lot of that has come from the sale of the memorabilia here.
It actually came from the ladies' department at David Jones.
What, the scarf?
Well,
now listen. I watched contrived things. I saw something on television the other day, and it was Don Farrell. Now, he's the trade minister over in China, and he's picked up a bottle of ginger beer. He didn't know what he had, and it's an Australian export, Bundaberg.
Ginger beer.
Ginger beer, and he's in a shop, and he didn't know what he had. And I thought, how contrived are these I hate people who contrive situations or make... He was completely unfamiliar with what he had in. It was embarrassing.
Just tidy that up, Don, please. Our trade minister?
Yeah,
did you
Don
say?
Farrell.
Right, thank you. Don
Farrell. Did you know he was trade minister?
No.
Okay, he was over in China. Do you know he went... And he got
Do I
nowhere.
Know where China is? Yep, I
he
do.
Went over there, cap in hand, trying to stimulate trade. We're a minnow
right.
in world affairs.
So,
and here's Australia batting above
so
its
hang
average
on.
Or
so
trying
he had
to.
So he had a bottle of
ginger
Bundaberg.
Beer in his hand. They've taken a shot in a shop or something. And
he said, they said what to him?
Well, he didn't know what he had in his hand. I mean,
how do you know that?
The way he looked at it.
What?
The way he looked at it, he didn't even know it was Bundaberg ginger beer. You know, well, I suppose I drink
so,
it.
So, Don, I'm desperately trying
you
to grasp.
You don't know this Bundaberg
I
ginger
do.
Beer
I
in the brown
it.
Bottle?
I drink it.
Okay, well, you know exactly
I'm
what I'm talking about.
I'm desperately trying to grasp what you're saying.
Well,
is
he
that
didn't
he
know
had,
what he had in
How
his
do you
hand?
Know he didn't?
Because the way he looked on his face, the puzzled look. And here he is trying to promote an Australian product.
So there was a picture of him in the paper
no,
looking...
No, he was on television.
Oh, I see. And they said, what is that? And he said, I'm not sure.
Well, no. It's just the way it's hard to... You look at somebody's face
it's hard
and
to
their
explain
mannerism
it.
And all the rest, and you think, shit, this bloke doesn't know. He's bullshitting.
What an extraordinary long bow to draw it on.
It's not.
How do you know he didn't know what he was talking?
Well, I could tell by his facial expression.
God. That's similar to the Aboriginals looking after the land by burning all the...
Don't be smart.
Absolute nonsense
you're
speaking shit, Don. Don't lift your game while Mick's here, for God, or you will stop selling our hats, people will say.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
You've got a bit of... What, a long sleeve top? It's got Sligo. What's all that about?
What's that, Don?
The garment you've got on today.
Yeah, Sligo, yep. It's golf gear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Sorry.
So you might be interested in this, Don. This is the world we're living in. Sports Illustrated. Have you heard
of
Sports?
The American magazine.
Yep, and they used to have their...
covers.
Yeah, the covers, and they
on
were
cover.
Of great-looking athletes.
Yes, I know.
Women.
Yes.
You know, they were...
Don't tell me they're going to put to change.
Well, have a guess who was on the cover of this...
Well, I suppose that bloke that did the ad here with the beard and the bikini on.
They had a trans woman, that is a bloke dressed up as a woman in a swimsuit. She,
which one?
She, he, they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the number one picture.
Well, it must have been an attractive, they only put attractive people on the front cover, don't they?
Or an attractive looking bloke who's turned
well,
himself
I don't
into
know.
A woman.
I'm asking.
Oh, mate, fending him. Why don't all the women in this world, why don't they come get up in arms about
well,
people
we tried
stealing
that,
their
Johnny, we tried
gender.
That in Victoria. There was a demonstration, if you remember, and her name was Maura Deeming, who went and supported the lady who came in from overseas about women's rights, who was gate-crashed by the Nazis, and now she's out of the Liberal Party.
Yep.
Or they've expelled her from the parliamentary Liberal Party in Victoria. Now, she was standing up for women's rights.
Yep, yep I know.
And they've taken it another way.
Yeah, and
is
how,
it Pesutto
and how weak are the Liberal Party? What chance have they ever got of getting back into government in this state? And if there was ever a chance to get into government in this state, have a look at what's going
what
on with the people running it.
Telling Pesutto to choose his bullets before he fires them.
Yes. Choose his
bit,
bullets?
Well,
yes,
just
I know what
choose
you're saying,
what
Don.
Bullet to put in the gun before you fire it. In other words, do a little bit of investigation and look at the situation before you go off.
Sorry, Humphrey's got it right, Sam.
Why?
Well, he didn't want his funeral service to be held in Victoria.
That's correct.
Because he didn't want the Andrews government to...
Did he? Are you sure about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely, Don, because the family said that the Premier should have pushed back when they took his name off one of the awards here, because Barry Humphries, under the guise of Dame Edna, said that trans was just a fashion if you were a trans person.
And the other girl that was critical was that Hannah Gadsby.
Anyhow, Mick is correct that the Premier, the family said, should have pushed back and said, no, we're not taking his name off any award. That's just a reasonable parody or satire to say that. But no, they took his name off the award and the family said, no, fuck you, we're going up to New South Wales. We'd rather them acknowledge Mr. Humphries.
And Hannah Gadsby, the comedian, was on the project and she wasn't asked the hard questions about her criticism of Barry Humphries either. Very interesting, isn't it?
Mm. So
they should have asked her. That was the main question they should have asked her.
Because they're subservient and they're sycophants. So, Don, here's... we get,
and that was on last night, I think.
We keep getting pushed and pulled about what we should do in this world we live in. Have a listen to this for a stat. This puts it... The volcano in Greece... There's a volcano in Greece... has emitted more CO2 into the atmosphere in 24 hours that the whole of the human race have done since its existence.
Yeah, but those volcanoes have been around longer than the human race.
You want to go down to Oakley?
Yes, yes. Did you hear what I said then?
Yeah,
what did I say?
Something about the human race. But what I'm also saying is that the volcanoes have been around before the human race,
yes,
and they were emitting these gases before the humans came along.
Don, what was the salient point of what I read out then?
Oh, I don't know, because it was so airy-fairy.
It was I read out a sentence. I'll do it again, Don. See if you can pick up what is relevant about this statement. The volcano in Greece has emitted more CO2 into the atmosphere in 24 hours than the whole of humanity has since its existence. What do you think's the relevant point about that? In 24 hours, it's emitted. So do you reckon humans are changing the face of climate in this world? They're not at all. It's man-made events. It's things that you have no control over.
We are contributing.
Pardon?
We are contributing.
Yes, on what basis?
We've had an effect upon the world.
In what way?
Oh, vegetation.
What?
Vegetation.
Is this back burning the land
all
since...
All that and clearing land, which shouldn't have been done because of salinity, taking out salt-tolerant plants that reduce the water table so it's not saline. Saline.
So what? Dear, you're a tripper.
So you live in your little bubble in that high-rise at Docklands. You wouldn't have a clue what's going on in the world. All you go do is go and play your golf and drive around in your cars and fuck up the bloody atmosphere in those V8s.
Well, let me tell you what's going on in the world. There's a report come out, which has taken 7 years, and it's found that Donald Trump was absolutely hoaxed by the Russian interference scandal that Hillary Clinton started. And it was also, now, the only reason I'm mentioning this, that he's completely vindicated by any suggestion that he was got at by the Russians. And it was just a ploy by the opposition over by Hillary Clinton and her acolytes. And it was started by a conversation that a bloke called George Papadopoulos had with Alexander Downer in London, and Alexander Downer fibbed and bleeped and...
I know.
And that's how the whole investigation started, and it was a complete lie and a hoax, and it has been proven to be so. And people say, oh, no, Donald Trump did this and that, and Donald Trump has been completely vindicated.
But the problem is, John,
yes,
it's his vindication doesn't make as much news as what the accusation did.
You are quite correct, Don, because they are in bed with the Democrats.
No. That's what shits me a lot of issues in this world.
Yes.
You know, they receive a hell of a lot of publicity when it first comes out and you form your opinion, and then the apology or whatever it is just receives nothing.
There's a great picture, I saw this in the Overseas News, Don, there's a great picture of a electric vehicle with its boot up, and in the boot there is a generator, a petrol-driven generator.
I thought there'd be a dwarf.
Hmm?
A dwarf.
You thought there'd be a dwarf?
When you said they opened the boot, and I thought there'd be a dwarf.
Mick's come home from Tassie, and I say to Mick when we had a coffee, I said, Don is a tripper, you know that, don't you, Mick?
Tripper.
He said, a tripper.
What's a tripper?
A day tripper. You're completely off on another tangent and planet.
Are you insinuating I take drugs?
That's a reasonable question, Don. I'm not sure what you're on, but it's something you're on, because why, and I said you opened the boot of an electric vehicle, you said there's a dwarf in there. What's that got to do with it?
Well, I immediately thought electric car, if it ran out of petrol, you just get somebody to start running, pushing it.
Mick.
What was the name of that volcano, Sam?
Mick.
It's rubbing off on me sitting next to Don. Talking about Greeks, you don't...
Just
you
a
don't.
Minute. The reason I'm saying this about electric vehicles...
I was just going to ask you about... fish and chip shops.
The bloke... wait for Don to finish having a fit. So the bloke opened the boot of an electric vehicle and in... And in... Have a listen to this.
See, Mick, you don't have to write. See, impromptu stuff is very good. You just got to work off the top
of
your
head. Well, he was taking the piss out of you. That's what you would say.
But he tries to write comedy, Mick, and he's just come off with something on top of your head. Very
funny.
It's
hard to get a straight man, Don, these days. It's very hard.
I play it all the time, Mick.
Mick was telling me he went into the doctor's to have a prostate check.
Oh, did he? He loved it.
And the bloke, the doctor said... Well, take your clothes off, and he stuck his finger, the doctor, up his coit.
Digital examination, it's called.
And he said,
digital examination?
Yeah, that's right. And he said, now, don't get an erection, Kevin. And Mick said, no, my name's Mick. He said, no, my name's Kevin.
That's a frightening experience, isn't it, having a digital examination?
Too right.
The first time.
What, having something stuck up your bottom?
Yes. Mm. I found that very confronting.
Being a heterosexual, Don, it's a bit hard to...
It's confronting, I found it.
It's a bit hard to reconcile what it is like if you're a heterosexual. Would I have to explain that any further? I'm going to finish this about the electric vehicle. There's a picture in the paper, a picture in the overseas news of a electric vehicle with its boot up, and inside is a portable generator which is fueled by petrol, and they charging up the battery of the car because it ran out of battery with a petrol-driven generator. Can you see the irony of that, Don?
Why couldn't they just put an engine in the front of the car? Petrol driven.
Can you believe that? Do you understand what I just said then? Do you understand, Don, how ironic that is? That you've got an electric vehicle that has to be charged by a petrol-driven generator because it ran out of battery.
Well, I'm just trying to help the fellow with his car. Why wouldn't you just put a petrol engine in?
He's fucked, isn't he? Is that bad? Is that man working? He is completely fucked. Honestly and truly, I don't know why I bother. I don't bother. Don, have you noticed this? We're going to stop this.
The last time.
No,
right?
I've got a...
No, Don, we're going to come back. This
is not your hour.
This is segment one because...
Oh, how many are we doing today?
Well, we asked a couple of people to come in. I asked... I'll tell you in the break and then we'll...
I hired a car once, Sam. When I opened the boot, there was a blow-up doll in there.
Yeah, but you can put that. You pull her out and put her in the passenger seat.
Well, it was only half inflated. It had already gone down on somebody, you see. So,
Don,
maybe.
Don't step on. Mick was in the middle of telling it.
That was blue. I tried to cut him off. I knew where he was going. He's really.
This is what you do.
This is a family show.
This is why you've got no idea about how to treat these forum we do. He was in the middle of just about to tell you something.
But
which
he was going blue.
Don, he was in the middle of trying to tell you a humorous anecdote and you interrupted him.
I knew where he was going.
Well, leave him alone.
No, I don't want to go off the air.
So just pretend. Mick, what was that you were saying?
I was asking about the fish and chip shop.
No, ask... fucking fish and chip shop. Asking... tell us what you... Go on, Mick, quickly.
I wanted to know why the Greeks don't run the fish and chip shops anymore.
Oh, Mick, what's this?
I don't know.
Why?
Well, you just mentioned the volcano and it just came to mind. I'm just working like
that. You talk about me being
This bloke I know walked into a fish and chip shop.
Yeah, what's his name? The bloke you know.
Please. This person walked into a fish and chip shop and he said the guy serving, he said, I want some fish. And the bloke
did. You knew this bloke, did you?
And he bought the fish out and put it on the counter and... the customer said, have you got any salt? And the fish...
This is a bloke that you know asked for salt.
Oh, This man said
No, you said you knew him.
Oh, who's it?
Yeah. This man said to the fish and chip shop owner, as he put his fish on the counter, he said, the customer said, have you got any salt? And the man put his hand in his left-hand pocket and sprinkled a bit of salt over. And he said, have you got any pepper? And he put his hand into his right-hand pocket and sprinkled a bit of pepper over the fish. And the customer standing next to the bloke said, for Christ's sake, don't ask him for any vinegar.
I thought he'd be wanting pickled onion.
We've got
Did you hear that? I'm trying to tell a joke. How hard was it?
I was waiting for pickled onions.
We've got Thea, the Greek shell, running the fish and chip shop down in Launceston.
Well, no, lady. Hmm? Mick.
Mick, don't mention any names.
Please.
Don't mention any names.
Okay, go ahead. She eats the hamburgers up by putting them under her armpits.
Oh, shit, I got to get
Don't ask for a hot dog.
Close it down. Will you stop this?
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because